Welcome again to our series on Know Your Bible. This week, we look at the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs is a collection of wise sayings by King Solomon. He actually wrote or spake 3,000 Proverbs in his lifetime. But in this book, we only have something like 830 and another 66 from another source. The book of Proverbs could be divided like this. From chapters 1 to 9, they are the instructional proverbs that King David and Bathsheba gave to their beloved son and heir, Solomon. Then from chapters 10 to chapters 24, they are the Proverbs of Solomon. And then afterwards, we have chapters 25 to 29, which were Proverbs collected by the scribes of Hezekiah from the writings of King Solomon. And then the last chapters 30 and 31, there's some miscellaneous proverbs attributed to Augur, the son of Jacha, and King Lemuel. And those people, we do not know exactly who they are. But somehow about 850 of the 3,000 Proverbs of Solomon are in this book, and the addition of something like 60-odd come from these other sources. Now, essentially, what is the purpose of this book of Proverbs? Well, we're told it is this, that it is to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion, and also wisdom to the wise. Well, the book of Proverbs essentially has a key theme of wisdom. Key theme of wisdom. And of course it was through the lips of the wisest man that ever lived that we have this book of Proverbs. Wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to make the right choice. That is very true. But wisdom is more than that. Wisdom is the ability to live a successful and wholesome life. In fact, we might say this: wisdom produces a wholesome lifestyle. And here we have 850-odd verses that display the wisdom of God through Solomon. Now, we said that this book is divided into certain sections. Chapters 1 to chapters 9 are given by King David and Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. It's very interesting what King David considers are the most important things in life. Well, for example, in chapter 4, he makes this statement and this admonition to Solomon. He says in verse 5, chapter 4 and verse 5, get wisdom, understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Then he goes on to say this in verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom. And he will emphasize this again in chapter 8. When he says, all things that thou canst desire cannot compare to wisdom. And what are the things that were very precious to the people of that day? Well, it was rubies, diamonds, gold, and silver. They sought to amass as much as they could of those precious minerals. But King David said, look, there is nothing you can desire, nothing that you can obtain that compares to wisdom. And so, moving on, he said, wisdom is the principal thing, and I'm back in chapter 4, and verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. And then look what he says. Exhort her, she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. And so King David said this too. He said in verse 11 to Solomon, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. Well, what did the teachings of David to Solomon essentially consist of? Well, they consisted of warnings and admonitions. These warnings were essentially against strange women. You see, David and Bathsheba knew what they had given to Solomon, what kind of a character, what kind of besetting sins was flowing through his blood from the blood of David and Bathsheba. And as we know, David and Bathsheba had committed adultery, and they had passed that weakness, they understood, to their son Solomon. And so, throughout these 9 chapters, David consistently warns King Solomon about going after strange women, about being content with the wife of your youth. Well, Solomon recorded them, and Solomon even added to them, you know, 10 to 14, chapters 10 to 24, sorry. But you know, the strange thing was this, that Solomon could teach well, preach well. In fact, he's called the preacher. Ecclesiastes, quoth, means the preacher, or the teacher. He was not only king, but he was a teacher, he was a preacher in Jerusalem. The crowds came to him to hear the wisdom that God had given to him. Not only the crowds and the people of Israel, but also the kings of the earth came to hear the wisdom that God had given to Solomon. Oh, Solomon could teach. Solomon could preach, but Solomon did not practice what he taught others. And you know, that's one of the things I want to warn against in this session. You know, you can know the truth, but do you practice the truth? The Apostle Paul had the same problem in Romans chapter 2. He was writing to the Jews, and he said, look, you teach that one should not commit adultery. You teach that one should not steal. You teach that one should not covet. But you're doing the very things that you are telling others not to do, and therefore the name of God is blasphemed because of you. Well, that was the case with Solomon. Solomon had been thoroughly warned by David. You know, although it's not recorded here, David must have said something like this to Solomon. Look, young man, your mother and father have sinned, and we have passed that on to you. Be careful, stay away from women. Be content with the wife of your youth. But Solomon, what did we read of Solomon? 700 wives, 300 concubines, 1,000 women in all. Come, Solomon, what are you doing? No, Solomon did not listen to what his father had told him. Nor did he heed the law of his mother. The result was, you see, that he opened himself by these excesses with women to all kinds of things. In fact, he says in Ecclesiastes, he said, whatever I saw, I desired. Whatever I desired, I got. Oh, what a life. You see, it could have been so different. Well, that was one of the great warnings of David that Solomon did not heed. And you know, being a pastor and living with pastors, surrounded by pastors and so forth, do you know one of the heartaches we have as pastors is seeing people having ruined their lives through women, or women having ruined their lives through men, and constantly being confronted with people, you know, that have married, divorced, remarried, and so forth. Lives ruined. We seek to do what we can to restore them. Well, would to God that Solomon was just a warning. But unfortunately, there are so many people that have followed in his footsteps. Well, that was one thing that David warned Solomon about, strange women. Then another of his admonitions was, apart from getting wisdom, you know, he said, get knowledge, get knowledge. We are told by the Apostle Paul that our inner man, meaning Christ within us, is strengthened through knowledge. And so, one of the things that David said to Solomon was, get knowledge, get knowledge. Well, Solomon did so. He was a very knowledgeable person. And I would just simply add to this by saying this. Here is the word of God. Study the word of God. Obtain the knowledge of God and of his ways. And it will be a great strength to you in life. It will hold you. It will keep you on the straight and narrow. It will prevent you falling into the pitfalls, you know, of sinners and so forth. You know, what do sinners do? Well, one of the things that sinners do is to get drunk. And in the book of Proverbs, there is warning after warning after warning concerning drunkenness. Now, things always start in small ways. In small ways. A social drink. Oh, everybody does it. Well, no, not everybody does it. Some of us have refrained from so doing, because we have seen the end of social drinking. It starts with a social drink. Parents drinking socially. Then, when their young children grow up into teenage, they introduce them to social drinking. They encourage them. But you know what I've seen, and what statistics will confirm, that the young cannot control that social drinking. And they drink and drink, and they end up alcoholics. And then they, like so many politicians' wives, like Betty Ford, the wife of Gerald Ford, the President of the United States, they have to go into these homes for alcoholics. It all started a little social drink. And how many stories have I read of politicians lying flat on the floor, completely drunk, in these social gatherings. No, it's very dangerous to start on the pathway of drinking. Oh, how many people in good positions have started that social drinking, and the result has been that the drinking has overcome them. The result is they become alcoholics, they've lost their jobs, and the family has been reduced into poverty and penury because of that. And so, all the awesome warnings in the book of Proverbs concerning strong drinking. Well, what else? One of the things that both David and Solomon advocate to live a wholesome life is to be diligent and hardworking. They both state very clearly indeed that those who are diligent and work hard shall be brought before great people. You know, as you study the Word of God, you find men and women chosen of God who are all hard workers. A woman, Ruth. Ruth, she was a widow. She followed her mother-in-law, Naomi, back to Bethlehem. And she must have been just under 30, something like that. And there she goes into the field of Boaz. And Boaz, the owner of this field, notes her and says to the servant, the steward who is over his field, he said, "What about this woman here? Who is she?" And the steward said, "Well, she's Ruth, the daughter-in-law of Naomi." And then he went on to say, "And she hardly goes into the house." These little huts, you know, that were set up so that the workers could rest from the rays of the midday sun. She said, she hardly goes there. She's a hard worker, you see, hard worker. Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was the first king of divided Israel, it was said of him, he was a hard worker. He was diligent. And I would commend to you, you know, that prayer of Moses, "Teach us to number our days that we might apply ourselves to wisdom." how important it is to hard work hard. You know, it's one of the things you learn in the ministry when you're a pastor and so forth. You've virtually got a 24-hour day. Now, of course, you do sleep, but that phone can ring. And also, you know, it's early morning and late at night, the most productive hours of a day. And, you know, that's the type of life we have, you see. We have to work hard. We enjoy it because we're working for the Lord and for his people. But I tell you this, those who do not, they do not rise. It's a story about John Roberts, who's the Chief Justice of the United States. You know, a friend came to Harvard and got his room and got it all set up. And he noticed down the corridor there was a door open, a light in another room, and he walked down there to see what was happening. And it was John Roberts, a student, first-year student at Harvard. And he had before him a law book open, one of the law books that he had to read for his course, and he practically finished it. And the young man, the other young man said, well, aren't you going down to Boston, you know, to enjoy yourself before the term begins? And John Roberts says, no, he said, I'm preparing for the term. Well, look what happened. That other young man, yes, maybe he learnt something from John Roberts, I don't know, but he came quite successful. But John Roberts, you see, through his hard work and diligence, that's one of the reasons he was chosen to be Chief Justice of the United States. Oh yes, those that work hard are fruitful, and they gain the approbation of God. Well, what else have we got here? Well, in this book of Proverbs, we're introduced to two women. One of them we've already mentioned, that is a strange woman. The one, and the interesting thing about this strange woman, you know, you think, oh, it's somebody from the heathen. No, it isn't. Do you know that the warning that David gives concerning the strange woman is a woman who's left the guide of her youth? In other words, she was brought up in the church and she made a decision to turn away from the instruction that she'd received, shall I say, in Sunday school days, left it and went into the world. Oh, the other danger is the men. And of one it said, I was almost all evil in the midst of the congregation. You know, John Wesley said, don't underestimate sin in the congregation, in the church. And so this strange woman was a woman that, you know, women that left the pathways of righteousness and seduced others to follow. Well, there's another woman called the wise woman of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 31. And oh, what does it say about that woman? Well, that woman is a model for every woman in the church. Number one, she was hardworking. She got up before sunrise to prepare for her household. And she ensured that they were all taken care of. She had an eye for business. She bought a field with the profits of her diligence and hard work, because she sold and she also gave to the poor. It speaks of her as having the law of kindness in her mouth and a bountiful eye, one that saw the needs of others. And I would commend the reading of Proverbs 31, verse 10 to the end, verse 10 to the end, you know, as a role model for every girl in the church. Two women. One, both, of course, who were in the church, both who were instructed, had the same opportunities. One that decided to leave, and the other who decided to continue walking in a narrow path, the path of diligence, the path of godliness, path of kindness. The result is that her husband, the heart of her husband, safely, you know, felt safe with her, trusted her. Well, that's what we want for everyone. Well, we must bring this to a close, and we've mentioned many things here, but also, you know, something is not mentioned in Proverbs, but it's mentioned in the Psalms. He that ordereth his conversation, will I show my so great salvation. And in the book of Proverbs, much is spoken about words. It says, death and life are in the lips. May we indeed speak life. May from our lips righteousness flow. May we be wise by winning souls. May we indeed be clothed with his wisdom, so that by the grace of God, you know, we shall have a crown of glory in that day when we meet the King. May God bless you, and I recommend a chapter a day reading and meditating in the book of Proverbs, so that you might acquire wisdom and knowledge and remain on the pathway of righteousness. God bless you richly. Thank you. Amen.